Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with bonkers.ie, Ireland's favourite comparison and switching website. Visit bonkers.ie today and start saving on your household bills.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
It's just coming up to a quarter to three on November the 4th, 2009. And it is with great sadness for this station, for this organisation, for this nation, but above all for his loving family, Kathleen Crone, Susie and their families, that I have to announce the passing of Gay Byrne, broadcasting colossus. He died at the family home, surrounded by his family, his loving family, tranquil and peaceful earlier today. And I knew it was coming. A lot of people, unfortunately, knew it was coming. A lot of people in his incredible circle of friends that Kathleen and Gay had, from an incredible length and breadth of this nation, have known for the past few days. I was lucky to visit him on Friday evening, and I knew the end was near. I didn't know that it would happen at this time, but I was writing something at the weekend, and I just said, can you name any other broadcaster in this country that has such an impact on the daily life of a nation, any nation, for nearly six decades as Gabriel Mary Byrne? His loss after a long, difficult illness is immense for so many. And the facts about the boy from Rialto were astonishing. He presented the Late Late Show for 37 years, beginning in 1962 when he was 26. He was also the producer in charge for all but four of those years. His daily radio programme ran for 26 years. The Toy Show, which still enthralls the nation, was first anchored by Gay in his Christmas jumper in 1971. Each programme Gay presented and produced attracted an audience that simply has never been matched in percentage terms, affection, here or in any other country. He loved actors, musicians, comedians and the showbiz community, and he loved the people of Ireland. And he demonstrated in his one-man show, which toured Ireland before his illness took its toll, he could act, sing, play the piano and tell a cracking good yarn. It is often forgotten that Gay's sharp edge and current affairs bent began in television and only arrived fully formed on radio a decade later in 1972 with the Gay Byrne Morning Radio Show. He was only 26 when the Late Late began back in 62, shortly after Ireland got its first television station. The dull, stultifying era, epitomised, I suppose, by Eamon de Valera, had effectively ended. Irish society was ready to be challenged and changed, and more so than any one person since that, Gay Byrne did exactly that. For nearly four decades, his broadcast became Our Citizens' Assembly, a daily staple of 5 2-hour radio shows, culminating in the Late Late Show, initially on a Saturday night when he worked 6 days a week, and then on a Friday night. His programmes were entertaining, engaging, enhancing, and ultimately made all our lives richer and in many cases simply more bearable. For Irish women especially, his programmes became a lifeline as the issues that affected them were confronted head on. Many women enduring domestic abuse without access to contraception, divorce or marriage equality discovered through Gay's programmes that they were not alone. Many found in his programme a warm platform to raise this issue. I first met Gay, and everyone has a story, everyone has affection for him, almost everyone you meet. I was 10, he was 32, he was getting into his car in Dublin's Moore Street near the then RTÉ studios and the GPO. It was 1966. He was famous then. He's probably the most famous man in Ireland in 1966 and since then. I asked for his autograph, I reminded him of this the other day, which he bemusedly scribbled, and I told him the story years later when we became close friends and colleagues. He corrected me on the type of Triumph Herald that he got into. Like so many, he supported, mentored and criticised me all for the better. He mentored and supported so many people inside and outside this organisation. There were simply no more generous broadcaster than Gay. From the Toy Show to the daily radio programme, he often sat back and allowed others to take the limelight. He held no fear. He was comfortable and confident in his own skin from a very young age. Gay's work ethic was astonishing. It was the totally opposite of his friends, his great friends, Terry Wogan's self-professed devil-may-care attitude. Gay was producer of The Late Late, had a major input every day into the content of the Gay Byrne radio show, but he had no agendas except to make good, interesting, entertaining, uplifting, educational and, as it was, highly rated in terms of audience, TV and radio programmes. We all sat every morning. He was a hard taskmaster, but no grudges. We all sat every morning in dread for the verdict on the item we had contributed to the programme. But as even into his 80s, he was 85 when he died this morning, even into his 80s, his work ethic still dominated, as well as his weekly programme on Lyric FM and a newspaper column. He himself and Kathleen toured the country with his live on stage show, a 2-hour tour de force, and then what, there was 12 seasons of The Meaning of Life. He never let his own disinterests in some sports and his injudicious obsession with obscure jazz artists or his sustain in the early days for the language movement dominate or distort his output. The question as to whether Ireland would have changed anyway without Gay Byrne's programmes cannot be answered adequately at this stage. In truth, like many good broadcasters, he did not have an agenda, political or otherwise, except to make good programmes and to trust his instincts and stick with them under fire. And as to the impact he had on Ireland of the last six decades, which he would dismiss when I mentioned it to him with the impatient flick of the wrist, it is hard to quantify. He did save lives in his work. And I'm not just talking about his 8 years tenure as the energetic chairman of the Road Safety Authority. Gay's impact on Irish society has been seismic and positive. Above all, Gabriel Mary Byrne, Gabo, Uncle Gabo, had a great interest in life and people. He was an airplane geek, as you know. He would have been a pilot if he'd not become a broadcaster. He had an unhealthy obsession with Meryl Streep, at least on the radio. He was an expert on air crashes and their causes. He loved theatre, books, movies and walking. He loved tidy desks, tidy cars, tidy people who were also punctual. And he didn't have a big interest in sport until his beloved, you have no idea how he loved his five grandchildren. His 60 years in public, in the public guy has left an indelible mark, not just on Irish society, but he enhanced the lives of countless thousands of Irish people every day through his radio show, while the weekly Late Late Show was the top rated weekly TV programme. He was the boldest, the bravest, the brightest. We are all the better for his life and are deeply, deeply saddened by his passing. Our love and condolences to the loves of his life, his wife Kathleen, daughters Crona, Susie, his two son-in-laws, and, as I say, his five grandchildren. If Ireland, in all its creativity of the last 60 years, if Ireland in all its creativity, progress, generosity, heartbreak, exuberance, debate, discussion, if the Ireland of the last 60 years it was a voice, if the Ireland of the last 60 years had a voice, it would be the dulcet, challenging, bemused, questioning, reassuring voice of Gay Byrne. We as a country are all the better for his life. This is the tune that went into so many homes every single, before we hear Gay's voice when we compose ourselves. This is the tune that so many people heard every single morning for over a quarter of a century, and it was a tune that brought joy and uplift and expectation into the households of so many people in this country. Gay Byrne, may he rest in peace. Thank you. and it's in this very studio where every morning for 25 years his ritual Gay Burns, ritual Gay, who has died this afternoon, age 85. His ritual was he'd come into the Late Late Show office at shortly after 7, a long drive from Hoth every morning, the sun rising over Hoth. The sun this morning didn't rise over Hoth. I tweeted a photograph. I knew what was imminent, and I couldn't even bear to look at Hoth because the sun wasn't rising, and that's where he died, looking out over, of course it rose through the fog eventually, but looking out on that view for the last week in his beloved this location of his home and his beloved home now of Susie Rohn and Sive, Saoirse and Keen, and of course all the family were there. Crona and her two beautiful children and her husband came back from Florida on Saturday. But that's, he'd come in, he'd drive in every morning. First of all, he would go over to the other side of this campus religiously and sit in the Late Late Show office. He was the producer of the Late Late Show, and open all the posts and see what's to be done. Then he'd listen to the 8 o'clock news, and it says in the papers, and you could time him like clockwork. He would walk across the campus here and walk across from the TV building, straight into this building, straight down into this chair. He didn't come up near the office, into the chair, and he laid out everything. And I remember the first time I produced it, I came down, I was told, you don't talk to him, he's concentrating. He had his little scalpel, he had his little, wearing his green jumper, he had his little scalpel, his little brown satchel, which I first saw him carrying in Moore Street in 1966, and he would be filleting the papers for stories to start his programme with every. And then I stood outside for a moment and I said to the sound operator, my first day, is Gay praying in there? And he said, no, Gay is actually rehearsing. He is rehearsing what he's going to say and how he is going to start the programme. The thing, one word that has struck me as people approached me, especially in the last few weeks when people had heard that Gay's passing was imminent, is the affection shown to him by almost everyone I've met. The affection, he was the greatest unelected leader Ireland ever had. And I said that to him on Friday and he laughed in his bed, in the hospital bed, in that room in Hoth with the magnificent view, surrounded by his magnificent family. And I was reminded again over the weekend of the Raymond Carver poem, Late Fragment. And did you get what you wanted from this life? Even so, I did. And what did you want? To call myself beloved, to feel myself beloved on the earth. This is the voice of the most beloved man in Ireland over the last 60 years. Though he will quickly remind me, as he say himself, remember in one poll I was voted the most loved man in Ireland, and in the same poll, probably by the husbands, I was voted the most hated man in Ireland. That was his sense of humour. This is Gay Byrne, who has died today, age 85. It will take a long time for that news to settle. The man that was beloved by so many, not just his incredible family. But this is Gay. We'll do two quick examples. I just want you to hear his voice again. Him reading a letter to a dejected daughter-in-law. One of the many issues that came up every single day on the radio programme.
Now let me tell you a real life story which came into us yesterday by way of letter. And this shows you the sort of things that people do to each other, the sort of things that in times past they did to each other. This letter is from Margaret, and it's a really interesting one. She says, I was not an unmarried mother. I was reared on a medium-sized farm in the Midlands, and when I was about 17 years of age, I met an 18-year-old farmer's son from the next parish. He was my first love, and I was also his first love. We were very happy. We went out together for almost 2 years, until his parents discovered that I was related to a girl in their parish who had an illegitimate son some years previously. Whereupon they forbade him to see me, and they even locked him out of the house some nights when he got back home after dances. Now, his parents had never met me or even seen me at this time, but they forbade him to see me on the strength that I was related to a girl in their parish who'd had this child some years previously. When he told me what was going on, I could hardly believe it. I needn't tell you, we both shed bitter tears. He wanted me to go to England, but as this was in the 40s and the passport and parents' consent were needed, I couldn't go. Anyway, I was very close to my parents and my homeland. There must have been a thundering row in his home because he left for America and never to this day has set foot in Ireland. I never told my friends or neighbours what really happened. I told my own parents about 20 years later, and they were stunned. He wrote to me many times from America, and he wanted to pay my fare out, but I was so hurt and offended that I never accepted the offer. Down through the years, many neighbours and friends have met him in New York, and he always inquired about my whereabouts and my well-being. He never married. I myself married late in life. I got a good husband and reared a good family, but I never really forgot him. His parents have passed away. May they rest in peace. I hope God has forgiven them, because I never have. I'm writing this to you to point out the stigma which was attached to any unfortunate girls in those days who happened to be an unmarried mother, even as in my case was carried on into the next generation. And it makes me wonder which generation has the most Christian approach to the problem. Yes, I understand that many people feel we've gone overboard in our acceptance of the situation. But surely to God, when I think of the heartbreak and depression we were put through for somebody else's mistake, I certainly have the answer in my heart. What do you think? Best wishes, Margaret. Isn't that a fabulous letter? And isn't that a very, very sad story? I wonder, is he still out there in America, unmarried? I wonder, is he still thinking of her? It goes back way down through the years, an appalling situation. But there you are, I suppose that was a case of individual ignorance and stupidity on the part of the people at that time. And yes, Margaret, you don't have to ask for the answer. Many people do feel we've gone too far the other way, but surely somewhere in between there must be the happy balance. Meanwhile,
Gay Bourne, born on the 5th of August in 1934, has died today, age 85, on the 4th of November 2019. And even the words at the end of that letter and his little advice, he was wise. He was so, so wise. By the way, here's a poem written about him. As I say, he had so many friends, so many. Self and Kathleen had so many friends across the country and beyond. Here's a poem written in honour of Gay. By the wonderful and spoken by the wonderful Brendan Kennelly.
There's so many aspects of Gay that we've all talked about. The two that I try to address in this poem are his originality and his value as an educator. I think he would have made a great professor. He's not instructive or didactic, but he has this talent of letting people live at the other end of his voice. Radio is sound, radio is voice, and he allows the voice of the other to penetrate his mind, and that is the secret, I think, of teaching, the eradication of the self and making the self a flowering ground for the other voice. And it's called The First because he is a true original. You were the first to let the people speak their minds. You listened to what each one had to say in your patient, tolerant, critical way, responding when they raised inquiring hands to speak of pain or fun, of loss or gain. You encouraged Ireland to open up, to face the ghosts of darkness, let them rip, express the secret heart in sun and ice and rain. You were a one-man university where all were welcome without paying a fee. You gave us words, ideas, music, song. Often you made us laugh out loud and long. Beneath it all, you searched for what is true. Thank you for that. But thank you most of all for being you. Thank you.
The voice of Ireland of the last six decades and beyond. Gay Bourne, that voice has been stilled. He died today at his family home in Howth, surrounded by his loving family. Think where man's glory most begins and ends. And I say, my glory was I had such friends. Gay Bourne had friends everywhere. We no longer have him, but we were all the better for his life. May he rest in peace. Gay Bourne.